Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, October 23rd. Governor John Hickenlooper is back from a two-week trade trip to India. As Ben to Berkland reports, the focus was tech startups and entrepreneurship.
With a population of 1.2 billion people, Hickenlooper says India can provide many opportunities for Colorado businesses. It was his first time in the country, and he was joined by business leaders and members of the Office of Economic Development and International Trade. The governor hopes these initial meetings will open doors. Before he left for India, he talked about the importance of teaching entrepreneurship to students. He says it could have made a huge difference in his life if someone had told him he had the skills to be an entrepreneur. Hickenlooper was famously laid off as a geologist. He says had that not happened, he'd probably still be doing that job and never would have founded the Wind Coop, Denver's first brewery, and launched a political career. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
While there are small signs of recovery, the mining industry in the North Fork Valley has undergone significant changes since President Trump was elected. Inside Energy's Dan Boyce did a profile of one Paonia miner that serves as a good picture of what life is like for the coal miners who still have jobs in the North Fork. Here is a replay of that story.
11 p.m. on a Friday night, the West Elk Mine opens its gates. Cars and trucks start rolling out. Don Staley's freshly showered in a Denver Broncos ball cap. It's the end of his shift. End of a long stretch with no days off.
Yeah, this is 26 today. Straight days.
Miners have been opening up a new section underground. A big job made tougher, since the economics of the coal industry means fewer workers.
Well, we didn't have the manpower, so what we have to do is we have to have all people, all crews doing it.
At least the West Elk Mine is still open. The two other mines here in Colorado's mountainous North Fork Valley have closed. The area has lost more than 700 mining jobs since 2010. Saturday.
Grab some Gatorade.
Finally, a day off. Don's got to catch up on errands.
I need to get a little bit of yogurt.
Groceries, mostly for his lunches. A barbecue he might throw later.
Maybe some hot dog buns.
Don is 39, and he's lived in this valley his whole life, so he has connections to pretty much everything, even the market we're in.
When I was younger, I worked here. This is what I did when I was in high school.
I was a great employee. Listened well.
Brad Holt's the co-owner of the market, which has been family-owned in the town of Paonia since the 1930s. For decades, the mines provided lots of stable, high-paying jobs for the area. Don makes almost $100,000 a year working at West Elk. So Holt's Grocery is noticing the downturn. Profits are dropping.
Well, I don't know if you call it profits. Sales are down from where they were, you know.
Paonia's community character has been shifting for a while now to more of a Colorado mountain tourist destination. Think organic farmers, coffee shops with cappuccino, and yoga studios. That all brings its own benefits, but it doesn't bring families like Cole did. The local school district is down almost 350 students from a decade ago.
And once this gets going, it's going
up on a small hill overlooking Paonia, past orchards with signs touting tree-ripened peaches, sits the American Legion Post 97. Saturday night, it's time for a raffle. Tickets cost a buck. They get tossed in this round wooden cage that's getting hand-cranked around and around. Don's here.
I have 25 tickets.
He doesn't win, though.
873.
Miss Jan!
Bartender Pam Daugherty moved here in the 80s from Kentucky.
I'm a coal miner's daughter, sister, and a wife three times over.
Paonia's changing character, she is not a fan. Does it feel like your town anymore?
No, I don't go downtown. I do not shop here.
In the Legion, though, it feels like old times.
Yes, it does. It feels like this is ours.
There are a number of other miners in here along with Don, buying each other beers, joking around. Don describes it like a family, and his blue eyes light up when he talks about the service they provide.
Every time you flip on a switch, every time you get to watch TV, that's what we give.
It is physical, dangerous, and dirty work. Miles underground, completely cut off from the outside world. That was the case last November, election night.
Our boss came up, told us to stop working, and he said, Trump just won. We literally actually shut down, all went back to the kitchen, and got to have 20 to 30 minutes to ourselves. It was very happy.
Don feels like President Trump has been keeping his word to coal miners, working to roll back environmental regulations and increase mining on federal land. Don's own mine has recently made some modest hires. Taking it all into account, he's almost optimistic. The miners stay out late, yet still make it up for a Sunday morning golf game. Sunday night, Don's back in the mine on his new shift, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. for the next 2 weeks. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
The U.S. Senate passed the budget for next fiscal year with no Democratic support. Colorado's two senators voted with their respective parties. The move paves the way for tax overhaul legislation that the GOP hopes to pass in the coming months. Penta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Republican Senator Cory Gardner joined GOP calls to repeal the estate tax. It allows a gift of up to $5.4 million to an heir with no taxes. Any amount above that is taxed.
We have a tax that causes families to have to confront breaking up businesses that have been in the family for generations or selling off the family farm just to keep what they've built and what they've already paid taxes on, all because somebody died.
But Democrats say the estate tax impacts only a very small number of farmers, and repealing it is a giveaway to the extremely wealthy. Senator Michael Bennett says cutting corporate taxes and getting rid of the estate tax would increase the national debt by trillions of dollars. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
And in a glance at the high school football scoreboard from last weekend, Meeker left no doubt that it is a 1A state championship contender when the Cowboys defeated Paonia Friday night 31-14. Logan Hughes completed 12 of 14 passes for 204 yards and two touchdowns in the win. In other 1A action around the listening area, Hotchkiss won its second game in a row, defeating Olathe 21-14. Cedar Edge defeated Grand Valley 9-6. In a 2A contest, Delta lost to number 2 Bayfield 45-0. And in 4A, Montrose moved closer to a playoff berth after a 34-9 victory over Coronado. And watch out for Fruita Monument. The Wildcats beat Stanley Lake 42-8. Fruita is unbeaten at 8-0 and is ranked number 6 in the class. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.